greetings, 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 and salutations, one and all. How y'all doing?
So grateful.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the night shift of DJ Kevin Stew. It's real talk night.
Love you forever, forever and ever, amen. Cause we've been through it all. You pick me up when I fall. You're my lover, girl, you're my best.
Wanna welcome y'all to the broadcast.
I don't know about you, but I can't go another day without my baby.
Yeah, man, we're live and in living color tonight.
Girl, I don't know about you.
And I wanna say big ups to everybody locked in.
Girl, please know everything we've been through is just a lesson. Girl,
much love to those who are locked in on TuneIn Radio.
Never,
on the night shift with DJ Kevin Stew.
You pick me up when I fall. You're my lover, girl, you're my best friend.
Blessings to the massive up north.
And even though you heard a lot of things, ooh,
those out of New Jersey,
ooh,
on NIE Radio.
That I will never hurt you, baby.
Hanging out to the motivator.
Say, girl, you know
blessings, my brother.
Say, I hope you know that I just wanna love you, baby. Gonna love
you. Can catch the motivator live on Thursday evenings at 9 p.m. And Saturdays at noon.
You pick me up when I fall.
Come on, double trouble Thursdays.
Girl, you're my best friend.
And motivation Saturdays.
Take this love away.
I want to say big ups to those out of Long Island, New York.
I
locked in on Reggae Pulse Radio.
I am never giving in.
DJ Atomic Force and the crew, much love to you.
I'm all right.
I hope you guys keeping warm, you know.
Love you forever. Forever and ever, amen.
I want to say big ups to Mr. Lindsay.
Cause we've been
on the Foundation Radio Network, ClintonLindsay.com.
When I fall, you're my lover.
And big ups to the massive listening in.
Girl, I don't know about you, but I can't go another.
Big ups to those on Clubhouse.
My best friend, she my
bubbling in the stew pot, those on Zeno FM.
About you, but I will count my blessings. Girl, please know everything we've been through.
Those locked in on Facebook Live.
Girl,
welcome, welcome. Those on YouTube Live.
Forever and
of course, those on PEMG TV and on the home of the night shift to DJ Kevin Stew, KevinStew.com.
But yeah, you're my best friend. And even though you heard a lot of things,
so glad to have you. Couldn't do it without you. And you have my word, I wouldn't even try.
That I will never hurt you, baby. I was a little bit toxic, but girl, you know this love is like magic. I hope
the zone of Stick the Artist in the background kicking things off.
Yeah.
Track called Love You Forever.
Forever and ever, yeah, man.
And this is the time when people get really lovey-dovey.
You pick me up when I
or they avoid the whole lovey-dovey thing.
Girl, you're my best friend.
Whichever works for them.
Who can take this love away? That I am here to say, I can't go a day without you in my life.
It's also around about the time where I get to celebrate the life of my mother.
You're never giving in.
Yeah, man.
As long as we're together, I'm alright. Girl,
she transitioned on what is considered the most loving day of the year.
Forever and ever.
But if you've known my mother, if you knew my mother,
cause of you too,
every day with her was a loving day.
Up when I fall, you're my lover, girl, you're my best friend. Just part of the life.
I want to say thank you to my segment sponsors.
Forever and
the Pulse Media Group. And being in the moment is priceless. Go ahead and get them in a car. Get them a car. What can they do for you?
When I
everything you see here on KevinStew.com and more.
My best friend.
They'll take over your videos, your streaming, your ads, your photos.
Can't go another day without my baby.
They can host your website, they host mine.
Girl, I don't know about you, but I will come up.
They provide you with the opportunity to stream your broadcast live and in living color.
Girl,
whether it be a church service, a funeral, a party, a graduation, a seminar, you name it.
Forever.
They have a solution for you.
Man. 'Cause we've been through it all.
So let's give them a call.
When I fall, you're my lover.
Check them out online. 754-999-1140.
And even though you're
at 754-999-1140.
Everything we've been through.
Call them up. Tell them Kevin Stew sent you.
Never hurt you, baby. I
want to say thank you to Althea and her healing heavenly hands. Althea issues a licensed massage therapist operating out of Broad County, North Miami-Dade and South Palm Beach counties. She comes to you
forever,
bringing her table, her oils, and over 20 years massage therapy experience. Give her a call. 954-655-9000 and schedule your appointment today.
You're my best friend.
She only has one request outside of paying her.
This love away.
And that is you get off her table and go sleep somewhere else when she's done.
I can't go a day without you in my life.
Because you will feel like you're in heaven and just go to sleep.
No, I am never giving in. As long as we're together, I'm alright.
I want to say thank you to Reggae Global Radio and The Global Bass.
Forever.
Well, Reggae Global Entertainment and The Global Bass.
Never run, never hear, man.
The Global Bass will provide you with the over 30 years experience in the music industry and with public relations.
Gonna love you forever.
They do artist management and booking,
man.
Entertainment planning. All right, well, handle your entertainment, your whole entertainment catalog.
Best friend.
Creating a presence on social media, the marketing aspect of it.
My best friend, she my lover. Girl,
they'll plan your events.
But I will count my blessings. Girl,
they'll even do the production of your entertainment. So you do music. Yeah, they're real big on production. Give them a call, ask them how they can help you to get recognized. 954-804-8199. That's 954-804-8199. That's the number that you can reach them on. Or you can check them out at theglobalbass.com. That's daglobalbass.com. Thank you to McNeil Trucking. McNeil Trucking is a veteran owned, licensed and insured mover in the state of Florida.
Forever.
So you want to move from the Keys to Jacksonville,
'cause we've been through it all.
Move from Naples over to Palm Beach, maybe from Pompano to Pensacola, and any point in between. You want to put some things in storage, don't have the manpower, don't have the transportation, don't worry. You have the name, you have the number. McNeil Trucking. 954-406-9740.
As long as we're together, I'm
get him a call today.
Girl.
Arrange up your move.
Forever.
And tell them Kevin Stew sent you.
Forever and ever, yeah, man.
It's McNeil Trucking with them.
'Cause
your goods are in good hands.
You pick me up when I fall. You're my lover, girl, you're my best friend. Just part the life.
I'm so grateful that you all are here. And I invite you to call a friend, tell a friend.
I'm so thankful.
Friends of your friends of your enemies of your friends, and your enemies too. Call up somebody, anybody, everybody. Call them all, because it's a night shift to DJ Kevin. So it's Real Talk Night.
Forever and ever, amen. 'Cause we've been through it all. You pick me up when I fall. You're my lover, girl, you're my best friend. Girl, I don't know about you, but I can't go another a day without my baby. My best friend, she my lover. Girl, I don't know about you.
The number that gets you in touch tonight,
lesson.
Live and in living color, 773-789-7839.
It's just a lesson. Yeah.
Phone lines are always open.
I'm gonna love you forever.
That's 773-789-STEW.
Never end.
773-789-7839. You can call, you can text, you can WhatsApp, you can Telegram. You're my love again, you're from anywhere in the world.
And even though you heard a lot of things, don't forget everything we've been.
So if you're wondering how you can get in touch,
never heard you.
And you live in, say, Chile, Peru,
this love is like magic. I hope you know that I just,
you might be over there in the UK or Europe somewhere.
Love you forever. Forever.
You might be in Tahiti even. You don't have to worry about it. You have WhatsApp or you have Telegram.
When I fall,
just call the number 773-789-STU.
Who can take this love away? Know that I am here to stay.
So tonight, we're talking about avoidant attachment. Doing a little bit of multitasking in the background as we listen to Stick the Artist. Track called Love You Forever. So, this whole concept of loving someone, does it work for everyone? Does it work for you? Is the person that you are loving or in love with, are they loving you the way you want to be loved? Are they loving you at all? Do you even question the relationship? And we ask some of those questions when dealing with all types of relationships. In this case, we're looking at avoidant attachments. And this is one of those relationship styles, or attachment styles, I should say, that is really interesting to me. Now, yeah, I didn't get into all the attachment styles, and maybe I should. There are some that say there are 4 attachment styles. There are some that say there are 5. Do you know what your attachment style is? Are you confident in your attachment style? Do you think that there should be something as an attachment style? The 4 that are generally recognized, I should say, would be your secure, your anxious, your disorganized, and the one that we're looking at tonight, your avoidant. Now, the anxious is also referred to as preoccupied or ambivalent in children, anxious, ambivalent in children, attachment styles. The disorganized is considered to be the fearful avoidant, and you find that happening in children. And the avoidant, which is pretty much what we're going to be addressing tonight, would be the dismissive or anxious avoidant in children. So these are the 4 noted, categorized avoidant styles according to Psych Central. But tonight we're specifically looking at avoidant attachment. Now, before we get too deep into it, Well, no. Let's just get into it. If you know someone that this particular broadcast might be of interest to them, go ahead and tell them to tune in. You know, invite a friend, friends of your friends of your enemies, friends of your enemies, and your enemies too. Call up somebody, anybody, everybody, and tell them that we're right here, kevinstew.com, live and in living color, talking about avoidant attachment. And so, what is avoidant attachment? It's an attachment style that develops during early childhood. Now, this is according to Medical News Today. And they say it tends to occur in children who do not experience sensitive responses to their needs or distress. Children with an avoidant attachment style may become very independent, both physically and emotionally. Well, what exactly does that mean? Are you saying that emotionally they can do without other people? And they, as it relates to independence, they very well and get through life. They can get through life all by themselves. They don't need any help. They don't need you with them. They don't need anything from you. And if that is the case, is that such a bad thing? And not to say that avoidant attachment is on a, you can measure it as a good or a bad. But for those that do, because when you talk about avoidance, immediately you start to think, okay, somebody is trying to not be in the presence of someone else. And I get that. So it's kind of an oxymoron to say someone is avoidant but yet attached. Because if you're trying to avoid people, why would you want to stay close to them? Being attached to someone means you're close to them at least. So how did they come about with this relationship style, this and to the point where they would categorize someone as such? Developing an avoidant attachment style as a child can lead to difficulties forming close relationships as an adult. And what we're going to be doing for the next few minutes is looking at attachment styles and its causes and possible treatment options. Can it be fixed? Now, it is one of three attachment styles that Mary Ainsworth and Barbara Whiting developed in 1970. Mary Main and Judith Solomon added the fourth attachment style in 1990. So again, you have your secure, your avoidant, your anxious, and your disorganized or fearful. With secure attachment develops in children with a parent or caregiver who is sensitive and responsive to their needs. Securely attached children have confidence that a parent or caregiver will be available to meet their needs and give them comfort when they are distressed. The avoidant attachment develops in children who do not experience sensitive responses from a parent or caregiver to their needs or distress. Children with avoidant attachment may become very independent both physically and emotionally. So, you know, everybody got on the independent woman train. Did they all experience this kind of care as they grew up? Or as infants? Things that make you go, Children with anxious attachment do not have consistent responses to their needs from a parent or a caregiver. children with anxious attachment may be clingy around their caregiver while insecure in themselves or in their interactions with others. Disorganized attachment. This one occurs when a child wants love and care from their parent or their caregiver, but is also afraid of them. Disorganized attachment can develop if a parent or caregiver responds to a child seeking comfort by ignoring, yelling, or punishing them in some way. And so you see where the theory is, this all starts in infancy. This all starts with a parent or caregiver. And it further develops into adulthood. If you see me fidgeting with my glasses, it's because it feels different with the headphones as at this weekend. No, these are not new designer glasses that I have. These are my same old glasses, but they broke. So this new look that it has, it's really cool on camera. And you can't really tell, but I had managed to do some MacGyvering, if you want to call it that. And I glued it together. It is pretty secure, but it feels different. Even seeing through it is different. So I'm in the waiting. I'm playing the waiting game for my replacement glasses. Now, real quickly before we take a break. In the 1970s, Mary Ainsworth did an experiment called strained situation procedure. And in this experiment, parents or caregivers left the room as their child played with a trained observer nearby. The researchers observed and documented the child's responses to their parent or caregiver leaving the room. Children with secure attachment styles would cry when their parent or caregiver left the room, but go to them and quickly become soothed on their return. Children with avoidant attachment styles would be calm when their parent or caregiver left the room. And once they returned, the child would avoid or resist having contact with them. However, despite these observable reactions, other psychological tests showed that the children with avoidant attachment were just as distressed as the other children by their parents' or caregivers' absence. So their action, their reaction to that parent leaving the room, that's pretty interesting. And I would have loved to have been there as they did this test, because it speaks volumes in my opinion. But of course, these things also fascinate me. Hence us looking at avoidant attachment tonight in this broadcast, because it's fascinating. So, where does that lead us to now? It leads us to question the cause. And when we come back from our break, we're going to be looking at some of those causes as according to Medical News Today before we get further into this whole avoidant attachment thing. Now, as we go off on the break, there are a few things I want to remind you about. One of them is the 78390 challenge. And it's a real simple challenge, one that you can pretty much set and forget, or you can be very active in it. Either way, you need to intentionally participate, because at the end of the year, yeah, it's a year-long challenge. And for those who can't commit to that, well, I don't know if you'll make it. But it's a really simple challenge. And it is where you save by in $10 increments. And what you do is add $10 to the previous month's savings. So you're putting away savings at the end of every month. The first month, you do $10. So in January, we'd have put away $10. In February, we're adding $10 to the $10 that we put away. Not that we're just putting $10 in the bank, but we're putting $20 for February. Now, if you want to multiply the month that you're in by 10, that's one way to look at it. And so each month, the amount you deposit is $10 more than the previous month. At the end of the year, so we're in February now, so we're looking to deposit. We should have, if you do it at the beginning of the month, then, and you have a high interest bearing account, then you're much better off than doing it at the end of the month. So right about now, you should have already deposited $20 for February. And then, you know, you can forget about that until we get to March, where we're going to deposit $30 and so on throughout the rest of the year. And then there is the 390, that's the 780 part. The 390 part is, instead of doing $10, you do $5. So in January, you deposit $5, and in February, you deposit $10. Again, it's multiples of 5. And you can multiply the month that you're in by 5 and make that deposit. At the end of the year, you would have deposited $390. See how that works? Real simple. And then you can use that to do some shopping. Or give it as a gift, as an investment gift to someone that you care about. Or break it up and give portions of it, whichever way you want to do it. But that's a 780-390 challenge. And it is geared towards promoting financial growth. Get on board. There's still time. February is $20. Next month is $30. So let's grow together. And I want to also remind you to get your copy of Empowered: Essential Concepts and Strategies Every Woman Should Know About Self-Defense. I narrated this audiobook back in November. And it is available to everyone. You can just visit the website, my website, kevinstew.com, and there is an image of the book cover right there. You can click on it, and it takes you exactly where you need to be to get your copy of this book. So get your audiobook. It is Empowered: Essential Concepts and Strategies Every Woman Should Know About Self-Defense. And get one for a friend while you're at it. Yeah? Cool.
Pulse Media Group, innovative streaming and recording, has done it again. A new way to get your business in full view of your neighborhood consumer through AdShare TV. It's available in your neighborhood today. It's easy. Just call us. 754-999-6020. Become a host today and place a TV monitor in a strategic location so it's easy to see. Get a 1-minute video ad or longer that plays anywhere in our network. Can't be a host? No problem. For a few dollars, we'll run your 30-second video ad. A host can run announcement specials like buy one, get one free, or discount ads. Let's turn your flyers into a 30-second video with music or a voiceover. Or let us create and run your video ad with a spokesperson. Take advantage of our early enrollment discount. Join us today. Your ad will be seen at least 30 times per day in your AdShare TV neighborhood. It's easy. Just call us. 754-999-6020. AdShare TV, part of Pulse Media Group.
Today, in chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, in math, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, in biology, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. And stupid. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
In biology,
I learned that I'm fat and stupid.
In English?
And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today?
The only thing I didn't learn today?
The only thing I didn't learn? Is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Ladies, lovers, lovers of the music, it is here, the brand spanking new album from Ed Robinson and Ian Sweetness, a tribute to Teddy Pendergrass. Amazing. 10 blazing tracks, two amazing singers going hit for hit, classic for classic. A tribute to Teddy Pendergrass, Ian Sweetness, Ed Robinson. Oh man. Is out now, available everywhere, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your music, it is there. A tribute to Teddy Pendergrass, brand spanking new, Ian Sweetness, Ed Robinson. Ladies, gentlemen, you've got to have this in your collection. Get it now, available everywhere. Bruv, my last baby already gone off to college, mate. Is what did she send come gimme, man? Is that big album still, I love it. Big up Ed Robinson, Ian Sweetness, but this better come with a contraceptive.
It's Christine representing for DJ Kevin. You see me, I say, I don't know the boss. You see me, I say, DJ Kevin's two and a night shift radio show. Yo, it at the thing, turn up the thing loud. Whoa, DJ Kevin's two at the heart of a champion. Never underestimate, just choose him. The silver line behind the dark clouds. DJ Kevin's true believing, and that's no doubt. Sell out the night shift with a show, Christine. This is hot to talk. Loud. Kill the beast.
The sound of Royce. You know. Track called If I Loved You. Hey, Jules, what's up? How you doing? Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you could join in. I'm passed by. All right, so we're talking, it's Real Talk Night, and we're talking avoidant attachment. And that specifically that attachment style. And before we went off on the break, we looked a little bit at what attachment styles are. Well, we talked a little bit about the four, give a brief description of the four attachment styles. And the test that was used to recognize avoidant attachment, and this was a test done back in 1970. So what then causes this attachment avoidance, or this avoidant attachment? When you turn it around, is it the same thing? It's not quite the same, is it? Because attachment avoidance means you're trying not to be attached. But avoidant attachment says you are attached, but the way that you display it is not quite as recognized. It's not easily distinguishable. Because it's avoidant, it looks like you're not really into the person. I guess that would be the difference, wouldn't it? Just switching the two words around. English language is such a funny thing. So, causes. As according to Medical News Today, infants and children generally need to form a close bond with their parent or caregiver. The repeated rejection of attempts to form this secure attachment may result in a child learning to suppress their desire for comfort when distressed or upset. Avoidant attachment develops when an infant or young child has a parent or caregiver who is consistently emotionally unavailable or unresponsive to their needs. Infants with an avoidant attachment style may also have faced repeated discouragement from crying or expressing outward emotion. Well, if that's the case, then that kind of sums up Generation X. Because for the most part, you know, we grew up with the, hey, suck it up kind of a thing. You know, you fell, especially as a male growing up in to parents of that generation, you fell, you were told, hey, get up and brush it off. The girls would kind of get the pampering. Come here, baby girl, let me kiss your boo-boo. The boys would get, hey, get up, brush it off, let's go. And so, is that to say that with that kind of raising, then you're predisposed, or you are, what should I call it, nurtured to be avoidant in your attachment style? Let me go on with this information, because I want to get into how this would affect relationships and how someone with this type of attachment style operates in a relationship as an adult. So the parent or caregiver of a child who has avoidant attachment may lack knowledge on how to support their child. They may lack empathy. They may feel overwhelmed by parenting responsibilities, not have developed a sense of commitment, or have an avoidant attachment style themselves. Now, I have issues with some of these bullet points here. To say that the parent has not developed a sense of commitment would be interesting if, especially, it is a single parent that is juggling two jobs, maybe three jobs, and raising this child. Or you may have, let's say that's a single parent home. And so to make ends meet, the single parent is juggling these things so that they can keep a roof over this child's head. Now, to say that they have not developed a sense of commitment would be false, because they're committed to making sure that this child is taken care of, that them and this child is taken care of. So are they saying then that they're not committed to relationships? And if it is a two-parent home, then here you have commitment happening, because you have both parents committed to each other, but they're also committed to the cause of raising this family, of keeping the roof over the head. So when you say they have not developed a sense of commitment, I don't know exactly what it is that they're trying to say with this. Maybe if we went a little bit more in depth with a psychologist or a psychiatrist, then maybe, just maybe, we could have a better understanding of some of these bullet points. Because that speaks to feeling overwhelmed by parenting responsibilities. These parenting responsibilities include some of those things: keeping a roof over the head, keeping clothes on the back, food on the table, making sure that the child is doing well in school, so helping them with their homework and stuff. You know, being present in every aspect, not just the emotional. And sometimes the emotional gets left behind because of all these other things that need to be in place so that you can be present for the child. You have to be taking care of yourself so that you can give to someone else. And in the whole process of taking care of self, now you're getting into all these things. The getting into the 3, 4, 5 jobs to make ends meet, because let's face it, the salary isn't going up, but everything that you're using the salary to do is. So how exactly do you present yourself or make yourself available to give all of this on paper attention and love that this child or these children would need? Is it then that what needs to happen is that an individual who cannot have that kind of support system should not have children? Is that what is trying to be implied here? things that make you scratch your head and tilt it to the side, you know, and squint your eyes. That's what I do when I question things. Children with avoidant attachment, according to Medical News Today, also disconnect from their own needs and feelings. These children may learn to self-soothe and feel as though they can only rely on themselves. As a result, they have little motivation or trust to seek help or support from others. A child with an avoidant attachment style may show no outward display of desire for closeness, affection, or love. However, internally, the child would feel the same stress and anxiety responses as a child with secure attachment when they are in stressful situations. These children may also want to be near their primary caregiver, but not interact with them. They may also reject physical contact with their caregiver. Attachment styles and their associated behaviors can last into adulthood. And as an adult, a person with an avoidant attachment may experience avoiding emotional closeness in relationships, feeling as though their partners are being clingy when they simply want to get emotionally closer, withdrawing and coping with different situations alone, suppressing emotions, avoiding complaining, preferring to sulk or hint at what is wrong, suppressing negative memories, withdrawing or tuning out from unpleasant conversations or sights, fearing rejection, having a strong sense of independence, having feelings of high self-esteem while having a negative view of others, being overly focused on their own needs and comforts. I wonder what kind of jobs people who have avoidant attachment styles typically hold. You ever think about things like that? Maybe one of you guys as listeners could look that up real quick for me. You know, what is the general or the best job for someone who has an avoidant attachment style? Because some of these things would sound like they'd be perfect for someone in the medical field, because they just want to get the job done and keep it moving. So, I don't know. I could be reaching. I could be guessing. I could be hoping. Now, with touching on that, just remember some of those things, because we're going to come back to that. In fact, let me just jump into it right now, because we could get into prevention of such a condition and treatment of it. But maybe we can look at some of that as we look at how it works in relationships. Again, 773-789-STU gets you in touch. 773-789-7839. You can call, text, WhatsApp, Telegram. They all get you in touch right here in the studio, live and in living color. And you get to participate. You can jump into the StewPot also. For those of you wondering what the StewPot is, it's what others call a chat room. Because of fancy on kevinstew.com, it is the StewPot. It's where we keep things interactive and bubbling. So it is completely free. Just go to the website, kevinstew.com, and you are there. You don't need to register, offer your firstborn, an internal organ, or a blood sacrifice. You are just there. You can change your name and change you're given a generic number. And you can keep that, or you can put your name so that I know exactly who it is that I'm interacting with. And the only real requirement is that you remain respectful. Respectful of the platform and the broadcast and of others. Okay? So, come on in. Don't be shy. Be a part of this. Let me hear your views. And all views are welcomed. I posted this earlier on social media. And I had gotten a response about it. And I'm hoping that I can get the person that responded to give a call. We'll see if they can call into the broadcast, but fingers crossed. But I will go back and read some of our exchange to you. I have, 5 minutes before we take another break? So, we'll see it. At the top of the hour, we take a break. But on Pure Wow, they ask the question, are you dating someone with avoidant attachment style, or is it that they're just not that into you? And they had asked a therapist this question. And the author of the article, Sydney Meister, was behind the whole thing. And Sydney wrote, I was rewatching Girls for the umpteenth time when I realized there's a pattern. In this particular episode, Hannah, who was played by Lena Dunham, finds herself in a situationship with Adam Driver. He is hyper-independent, always tinkering away at some obscure mental woodworking project. Woodworking project. And his demeanor is frustratingly evasive. She can never tell what's really going on inside his brain. All of this comes to a boil when Anna shows up at Adam's front door and delivers a poignant monologue about his inability to commit. Quote, you don't even bother to explain, and I don't really see you hearing me. Now, we all want to be heard, right? In some way, shape, or form. We all want to be acknowledged, recognized. Well, yeah. Basically that, acknowledged and recognized. And so if you're not getting that, it may be a bit upsetting. Suddenly, Sydney continues to write, I thought of Brian. Not the guy's real name, but a guy that she dated back in her early 20s. And she writes, who evoked all the same feelings in me that Hannah intimated. Confusion, insecurity, and my personal favorite, feeling like I am too much. Brian was just like Adam, passionate yet quiet, and his inability to articulate his emotions nearly drove me to the brink of insanity. So much so, she continues to write, that this led to a similar interaction. Our relationship was reduced to a humiliating one-sided confrontation that ended with us never speaking again. I can't help but notice how this dynamic, one where girl chases guy seems uninterested and girl is left feeling insecure, relates to the current discourse around avoidant attachment styles. For years, therapists turned influencers have flocked to social media to discuss three psychological profiles: secure, anxious, and avoidant, with the latter being the most misunderstood. Yet it's worth asking, where's the line between avoidantly attached and he's just not that into you, or she's just not that into you? We'll just go with they're not just that, not that into you. After all, anyone who's watched Girls will tell you how rare Adam's character turns out to be. And soon worthy, according to Sydney. But with a swipe right mentality and dating culture that moves as rapidly as some of the delivery systems, the online shopping and delivery systems, it's hard to know whether a person's actually interested or simply keeping you in a rotation with three other people. Now, if they're open and honest, you would know upfront that you're in a rotation with three other people. But that's another discussion. She goes on to write, I couldn't get an answer from Brian, but perhaps an expert could explain, could help me understand. And here it is where, this is where Dr. Carolyn Rubenstein, her take on what constitutes an avoidant attachment style, plus five early red flags that say they're not actually avoidant, they're just not that into you. So this is where we get to differentiate. And Dr. Carolyn Rubenstein is a licensed psychologist based out of Boca Raton, Florida. And she specializes in anxiety and trauma, with an emphasis on redefining relationships and improving overall well-being. And real quickly, well, actually, we'll jump into it when we come back from the break. We're going to take another break. And so it gives you the opportunity to call up some people. Call a friend, friend of a friend, friend of your enemy, enemy of your friend, and your enemy. Call up everybody. We're getting into the part of the broadcast where we look at how we relate to each other with this type of attachment style, or how you could relate to someone, or how to identify it and navigate that space. So call them up, tell them the night shift is on, it's Real Talk Night, and this is what we're talking about, avoidant attachment. Yeah, who knows? You just might save someone's relationship. We'll be right back after these few messages.
Matthew 28:19 says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. With this in mind and encouragement received during a South Florida media conference, The Church Links was birthed. The Church Links is an interdenominational worship service portal for churches, providing the tools to spread the word through technology in a cost-effective way. The Church Links, www.dahchurchlinx.com, your links to worship and praise.
Making great music is one thing, sharing it with the world, that's another. Let the professionals at Reggae Global Entertainment help you to another level. Specializing in artist management, booking, public relations and marketing, and promotion, Reggae Global Entertainment can help you with event planning, websites, photography, and video production, press releases, legal services, and graphic design. They can even help you with music production so you can get the sound that you want every time. Call Reggae Global Entertainment at 954-804-8199. That's 804-8199. Or visit them online at reggaeglobalentertainment.com.
MRE Entertainment, in association with VPAL Distribution, presents the brand new hit single.
I'm Robert French, and you're listening to my new song, Every Day of My Life.
Now available on all major digital platforms.
Every day of my life will be, I just love you, spend the rest of my life always, I just love you, every day of my life.
When being in the moment is priceless, consider the ability to share that moment. If you can video it, you can broadcast it. And Pulse eMedia Group has the tools you need. Weddings, birthdays, funerals, graduations, church services, parties, seminars, you name it. Pulse eMedia Group can provide you with a secure medium controlled by you to broadcast your event. Contact us at www.pulseemediagroup.com for more information. Pulse eMedia Group, when being in the moment is priceless.
Yes, yes, yes. Akara Mantino, I'm making notes right now. You are locked in to DJ Kevin Stew on the night shift.
New music from G. Cole. You were young and fine and free. Track called I Know Your Story. I ain't never gonna judge you. You ain't got. Welcome back to the broadcast. It's Real Talk. Yeah, you're locked in on the night shift with DJ Kevin Stew. We've been cool since we were three. Our topic tonight. Wait, my mic sounds funny. Does it sound funny to you? It sounds funny to me. Okay, maybe it's just in my headset. All right, so as tonight we're looking at avoidant attachment styles. Are you familiar with it? You know what that is like? Have you ever had that experience? According to Pure Wow, and before we went off on the break, we touched on it a little bit. We've been talking about it quite a bit, getting down to the science behind it. But how does that work when you're an adult? And that's what we're looking at until the end of this segment of the broadcast when we move into musical therapy. 773-789-STEW is the number that gets you in touch. Please feel free to use it up. 773-789-7839. You can call, text, WhatsApp, Telegram from anywhere in the world. And it gets you right here, live and in living color. Share your views, ask your questions. Let's talk about it. I may not have the answers, but at least you get to share a viewpoint. And that's how we learn, that's how we grow. And it is very much encouraged right here on the night shift to DJ Kevin Stew. So, attachment style is a psychological model that examines how and why individuals respond in relationships. For example, when a person is emotionally hurt, perceives a threat, or is separated from a loved one. And the framework, originally developed to understand the relationship between infants and their parents, categorizes how we perceive and make relationship decisions. So basically, it comes back to our early childhood development and what happens in that time in our lives. The avoidant attachment style values self-sufficiency and independence before anything else. And Dr. Rubenstein says that an abundance of intimacy triggers them and causes them to seek personal space. Kind of sounds like someone who is an empath needing to go off and be in their own space to re-energize, to be back around people, because they are so sensitive and they pick up on these energies around them. Now, as a result, avoidants are more likely to prioritize their own interests. And fittingly, avoid any situation that calls for emotional vulnerability. Plus, it's worth mentioning that an avoidant attachment style is actually a trauma response to childhood. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is what Dr. Rubenstein says. Now, more often than not, an avoidant's need for independence stems from a caregiver who would punish, reject, or withhold love when they asked for help. This translates into adulthood, where avoidants typically believe they don't need anyone, and people aim to seize their freedom. Of course, again, Dr. Rubenstein is a psychologist. Excuse me. And this is one of the realms that she pretty much focuses on. So how then does avoidant attachment affect romantic relationships? When you look at information like that which we just looked at, you can formulate a whole bunch of scenarios and come up with a whole bunch of possible outcomes. Well, as per the doc, avoidantly attached people tend to withhold information about themselves, especially if it's unsolicited. So you're not going to get anything from them unless you really talk with them. Now, I'm also suspecting that they need to be comfortable enough to open up to you. So if they're not comfortable with you, you're not getting anything, period. They'll shy away from making firm plans, or they might discuss making future plans in vague terms. They also might get invested very quickly, but then retreat just as fast. At the same time, however, this doesn't necessarily mean they're incapable of getting serious, or they don't like you. While an avoidant person may not want to be alone, they cannot bear true intimacy. They would rather be by themselves and risk their personal freedom for the benefit of a relationship. When they do enter into a serious relationship, it takes them a while for them to feel to fully commit emotionally, according to Dr. Rubinstein. So, is there a difference then between an avoidant attachment style and someone just not being that into you? Well, between all the emotional stonewalling and adversity to commitment, how do you distinguish? And this is the question. How do you distinguish an avoidant who is pulling away and a player who keeps you on the back burner? How is there a way to write down all these bullet points so you can find answers? Are there things to look out for? Hey Pat, how you doing? Glad you could pop in. When you're in the early stages of a relationship, excuse me, it can be hard to read between the lines, all while trying to figure out who's worth your time and energy, because this is dating. This is where you get to know someone, right? And so Dr. Rubinstein breaks it down. And they call it 5 early red flags that someone is just not that into you. Firstly, they do not make a gradual effort to spend time with you. According to Dr. Rubinstein, avoidants feel safe alone and many are introverts. Yet, when they begin to fall in love, they start to let a partner into their time more frequently. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky. If you're in the early stages of a relationship, so you're about 4 or 5 dates in, you want to examine how it is you guys stay in touch when you're not together. Avoidants typically shun commitment, but they'll communicate with you regularly. So if it's been months on months of this person sporadically hitting you up and having little to no interest in talking in between dates, it's probably because they're not that serious about you are getting involved with you, whether their attachment style is avoidant or not. They're just not that into you. So you want to keep that in mind. Next thing is, they really connect with you in person. Avoidants have a tendency to appear detached or partially present in conversations. They're not in sync with others' emotions, and communication is challenging. What does that mean? Well, if you're sitting across a table from someone, eyes locked, talking about your hopes and dreams, they're probably not avoidant. and the former has a difficult time making early emotional connections as they tend to struggle with eye contact when you first meet them. Ergo, if you're dating someone who you feel really gets you, well, until they ghost you, it is probably because you have a player on your hands. Isn't that interesting? But again, a fine line. So, Dr. Rubenstein isn't really giving us a lot to differentiate here. There's a lot of gray areas, if you ask me. But, you know, who am I? I have a DJ before my name, not a DR. But still, I ask questions. You should too. They ask for help or favors. This is number three. So people with an avoidant attachment style won't ask for help or small favors. Again, they're independent. They're going to want to make it on their own. They're going to try to do it by themselves. They believe that showing weakness is embarrassing. And as mentioned before, avoidants are all about self-protection. They hold their cards close to their chest and do their best to create a world that revolves around them. Well, that sounds kind of scary, but that's what they do, according to Dr. Rubenstein. Hence, if they ask for anything from small asks like folding laundry to bigger requests like borrowing money, it's more likely that this person is just taking advantage. So does that work for everyone or just avoidance? I'm pretty sure some people are looking at their relationships now going, wait, hold up. What is going on here? Again, not giving us a whole lot to work on, but giving us a whole lot to think about. Not giving us a whole lot to work with. Wrong preposition. Number four, they have no problem revealing personal details. Now, this one is a big one. For avoidance, personal life is sacred. They're extremely skittish about sharing their feelings and won't open up until they're sure they can trust you. At first, they'll probably be testing how much they can trust you. And this all goes back to the independent thing. One of the staples of avoidant attachment is withholding information until they're in a place where they feel safe that they can share. So if your person's mantra seems to be, enough about me, what do you think about me? Well, the recommendation is that you start looking up on narcissistic personalities. And that's exactly what I thought about earlier on when it was mentioned that they would build pretty much a world that revolves around them. It does sound narcissistic. So again, a fine line between that and an avoidant. Well, based on the information that we're getting right now. The last one on this list is they don't take things slow. So, which ones, you might ask? Well, here it is. You want to pay attention to the small stuff. While avoidants are unlikely to sweep you off your feet, they'll start complimenting you more and showing small acts of kindness if they were interested. Plus, since avoidants struggle with intimacy, it might take a while before you get physical. So, small steps equals safety for avoidants. So, what's the takeaway here? basically what they're what the doc is saying is if they're not showing interest over time, or they are, but only in a physical way, it's because they're not avoidant. They're just looking for something easy and casual. And of course, because not all avoidance can be measured with the same ruler, let's put it that way, you have to be careful to not just generally categorize and crucify or cast judgment on an individual whose attachment style is avoidant. You're gonna have to be really careful, because with nothing you can say, all right, this is a description, this is the box that person falls in, and nothing spills out of this box. There's going to be spillage because of interactions. And over time, as individuals develop, they learn certain things, they are drawn to certain things, they learn new things. And as such, then things change. And so if we're constantly growing, then we're constantly changing because we're learning these new things. And anything that is not changing is stagnant. Anything that is stagnant is dead. So if you don't want to be interacting with a corpse, then there should be some changes. Unless you do want to be interacting with a corpse, and that's a whole different broadcast. But, okay, Pat saying some things here, including the basmati rice, cabbage, carrots, and stew chicken that she made for dinner. I have not ghosted anyone that I can think of. If anyone out there says that I did, you can drop me a line and let me know about it. But I can't recall ghosting anyone. We have maybe mutually drifted apart, but I can't say I ghosted anyone. Pat says she thinks I'm mischievous, but cool. So when it comes to individuals in these relationships, the empaths tend to be more avoidant, but their actions are similar to those of the player in some respect. The big takeaway here is that the player is quick to get close, whereas the avoidant, let me not call them empaths. I had drawn the similarity very early. The avoidants tend to take their time to get close to you. So that's one of the big tells, whether it is that someone is an avoidant or they're just in it to hit it kind of a thing. Now, looking back at the information we started with, we asked the question, what causes attachment avoidance? Avoidant attachment. I don't know if it's my dyslexia or what, and I'm not dyslexic, but for some reason I keep flipping those two around. And we learned early in the broadcast that it typically starts with infancy. And so the question is, is it possible? And this is just my question. Is it then possible that two individuals raised pretty much the same way could have two different outcomes in their end up with two different attachment styles? And I believe they could, based on the fact that we don't live in a bubble, one. And two, we're, as individuals, we get drawn to different things. And so here it is. We're raised in the same house, but our exposure outside of the house, we lean towards certain things, or outside of the home, takes us in different directions. And this is how you have siblings that are so similar yet so very different. Well, at the core of them, you have the things that make them similar. And because they, in their growing up, they have different interactions, they end up going and taking on different paths. So because of external influences, these things help to mold you. And I think this is what the interaction on my social media thread was pretty much about earlier. Because the first response said, you say that like an avoidant attachment style is somehow more preferable than to be a player. At least a player has some logical reason to not be a jerk to you. Or I guess in this case, would have a logical reason to be a jerk. And my question then was, so is having an avoidant attachment style akin to being a jerk? And the response was, where was the response? I did get a response to that question. It wasn't just my thing. Oh my goodness. Oh, so the question was asked, or did I follow it up? I think I followed it up. Why does it have to be negative, though? If it's not resonating with you, the fact that it doesn't resonate with you, does it make it negative? It may be outside of commonly accepted traits, but it exists, and if it rubs you wrong, then maybe you could learn more about it and use your knowledge to understand and connect with someone with that style. The response was, have you studied that theory that formed the basis of attachment types much? It is a deeply flawed theory that oversimplifies the outcomes of a narrow subset of parenting environments. It does not stand up to critical review. To label people and define them as self-fulfilling, the whole theory is a house of cards. I'm not calling avoidant people negative. I'm saying no one is avoidant, and merely at times and under certain circumstances exhibit formations that could categorize and label. The label is not a real tangible thing. The original theory, absent the pop psychiatry, argues that an absent and overly demanding early caregiver sets unreasonable standards and withholds affection and creates avoidant personality types. This actually overlooks the impact of genetic personality types based on a wide array of possibilities that far, far exceeds three types. Most everyone can fall into any of those categories if you choose the right behaviors to note. The good doctor himself is one that claims avoidance are irrevocably damaged, and I reject that premise. Modern pop authors use this flawed theory to create the modern attachment styles concept. It falls under the weight of data scrutiny unless you convince someone that they are one of those styles and give them it as a plausible reason why they behave the way they do. I don't consider avoidant people to have negative characteristics. I reject anyone fits into such a neat category with any clear boundaries. So it's not that the problem is with avoidant person avoidant attachment style personalities or individuals with that style, that attachment style. The problem is really with that definition, that trait itself, and saying that anyone in particular is that type of person, because we are all that type of person at some point in time. And when it comes to looking at personalities and identifying personality traits, I would like to lean more towards the theory of having a dominant trait versus being a particular trait. Because, again, going back to the bubble, we don't live in a bubble, so we're not only exposed to one particular thing. We're exposed to many personalities, and some we resonate with more than others. And as such, there will be people of influence that may exhibit some of these traits, and we would lean towards those traits because we hold them in such high esteem. And a lot of times we hold people in esteem. We want to be a lot like them. And so we adopt some of the things that they do. And that helps to form who we are. So, in part and parcel, we tend to be a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of the other thing. So, when it comes to all these attachment styles, given the right time and given, depending on who you ask, I'm pretty sure each of us would get placed in all of those categories at some point in our lives. And so, does that say we shouldn't talk about any particular attachment style? No. If people have taken the time out to study the thing and they have come up with theories, let's explore that. Let's talk about that. Let's see how it is that we can incorporate things like that in our daily lives, in understanding how we can relate to one another. Maybe it's not the magic bullet. It's not the silver bullet that answers all the questions that we have, but it helps us to better navigate the space where we're communicating with one another, where we are having these broad-based relationships. Because, don't get it twisted, that same avoidant attachment style comes over in all aspects of relationships. We're talking about work relationships, we're talking about neighbors, we're talking about family members, we're talking about partners. Even the clergy. Because not because you have become a person of the cloth does it mean that whatever personality trait that you have goes away. No. You are still an individual that has your own thoughts and your own feelings and your own way of reacting to things. And so, as we interact with each other and we examine the world around us, I think it is really important that we keep these things in mind and we recognize that some people are raised differently. And it's not only the way that an individual is raised that defines who they are, because they have interactions outside of that and they cling to what resonates with them. I know pastors' children that you would never believe are pastors' children just because of how they act today. So, again, there's no one way that an individual may have interacted with a parent that could define who they are as an adult. I don't subscribe to that theory. If you do, fine, we can talk about it. I don't have a problem with you not subscribing or you subscribing to a particular theory. I have a problem with us not being able to talk about it and to share our views so that we could understand where each of us is coming from. Because again, you know my mantra, have acceptance through enlightenment. Let's sit and talk. Let's become more enlightened about where our mindsets are. And of such, find a common ground on which we can relate to one another. And then this is how we build our community, because now it takes away from the borders that we may put up between each other because of our differences. It breaks that down, because the more we interact is the more that we are likely to find out that we have more in common than we don't. And so, yes, we have created this image of an individual having an avoidant attachment that is a lone ranger. That, yes, they have feelings, but you won't get to experience them. Well, we don't show all our feelings to everyone. Not every day, not all the time. And so we all have a bit of avoidant attachment as a part of our personality types, as a part of our relationship styles. It just that it doesn't come out all the time. Then there are some that have it coming out more often than others. We just have to stop for a moment, get to know someone and figure out what type of relationship works best for you and that individual. And that's how we build our communities. You feel another way about it? Let me know. We're going to jump into some musical therapy and close out the plan. I think so too. We're kicking it off with the sound of Korik. Leave your side, I'll be here when you go. The track is called I'll Be Here. I want to thank you all for tuning in. If you missed the broadcast, don't worry about it. The podcast will be available on the website, kevinstew.com, and everywhere you listen to your podcast. You can also watch the rebroadcast on YouTube, but you don't have to go to YouTube to find it. Just come right here, kevinstew.com. It's your one-stop place. You watch live, and you catch a rebroadcast. What more do you want? Leave a donation. Just click on the donation button and help to keep the broadcast going. Advertise with us, even. That's how we keep things going. Ed Robinson in the background saying, this is your day. Seize it. Carpe diem. As we part company, I do encourage you to look out for members of your community. And remember, your development is not just the community. Your community is not just the development that you live in, but it spreads far and wide. So whether you take the bus, the plane, the boat, or the train, with people that you pass along the way, whether you walk, ride, or drive, these are members of your community. Do something good for one of them today, because you never know who's going to do something good for you tomorrow. Catch you next week when we do this all over again, and on Saturday for the Saturday Stew, 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. Reggae Global Radio, that's where I'll be on Saturday. Catch y'all later. Take care. Be good. If you can't be good at it. Good morning, good afternoon, good day to you, wherever you are in the world. From right here in South Florida, I bid you all a good night. Greetings and salutations, one and all. You're invited to tune in to the night shift with DJ Kevin Stew. It airs on Mondays with Community and Finance, Tuesdays with Healthy Love, and Wednesdays with Real Talk from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. Come spend some time interacting in the stew pot where we keep things bubbling and wind down in musical therapy. The Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew is on kevinstew.com, where you're encouraged to have acceptance through enlightenment.